10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch, sooner or later, indeed. Later is usually the best bet. Let's get straight to the phones. Again, if you want to get to Packers, we will get there a little bit later in the program. Let's start with Pete in Grafton with our 0.5 projection of callers who are thrilled with what?
Thrilled? Chris McIntosh. No, no, no. Nobody's saying thrilled.
Let's don't inflate it.
Thrilled strong.
Lower the expectations. Okay with
on
the
board with
plans.
Not yeah, something like that. Yes.
Okay. Hi, Pete. How you doing?
Hey guys, how you doing? Say, I missed a lot of the McIntosh interview, but I heard the analysis at the end, and this thought's been bouncing in my head for weeks. Tausch, I want to ask you point blank. If Ted Kellner, I live in Grafton, his name's everywhere. It's all over Wisconsin. It's in Cedarburg. It's in Grafton. He's got a lot of money. If Ted Kellner were to say to McIntosh, I will pay the buyout. I want Luke Fickell gone. What do you think would happen?
Well, I think Mac obviously would lean on Ted because Ted has been a, as you put it, he is a huge donor. He is a huge supporter of the program. It is not Ted Kellner's decision, but do I think that Mac values what Ted and other big donors have to say? Yes. And by the way, Jason asked point blank whether or not that money was the issue in part of this, and Mac answered very quickly if he felt that that buyout and bringing somebody else in would be a better move, he'd do it. So Ted has a lot of sway. There's no doubt about that. I don't think that would be the only thing, but there is no question that Mac has had to work to, I guess, continue to keep the support of those donors, because without that, we've all seen how college football goes. It's going to be that road that we're talking about going down would be almost impossible to go. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's how I'm answering it.
No, it does. It does. I know it would probably be a factor, but I understand that. But I just think, and the other thing is real quick, I can see what he's doing too, Fickley. He's trying to get some of the young guys in there. He's playing Posa and Catalano, and the other two guys are just fine. But I think he doesn't want to lose those guys, so that's why he's playing them. I mean, that's pretty odd, don't you think? Isn't that kind of the answer there?
Well, Pete, I'll say this, and thanks for the call. I'll say this. You do need to be mindful of your young players that you think can be core players moving forward. And Mason Posa played a whale of a game in Oregon. Catalano played really well. Those are going to be guys that you're going to lean on to be your staples moving forward next season. So there's just like in the NFL, when your season starts going awry, you want to see what you have with young players so that you can start making roster decisions and financial decisions about who stays and who goes. So I think a spark, you're always looking to spark when things aren't good. And in this model, you need to play guys and give them opportunities to see what they can do so that you can say, yes, this is the guy we want leading our defense. And nothing I saw last, I guess 2 weeks ago now, would tell me that he's not somebody you definitely want to have him as one of your staple guys in this program.
Thanks for the call, Pete. We appreciate it. I thought maybe I was going to get a Jason there, but I didn't. I did get to sit with Ted Kellner when I sat in David Gruber's seats uncomfortably at that Bucks game a couple years ago. He could not be more likable and down to earth for a guy that has the kind of money he has. I really enjoyed talking to him. I would be very curious, though, if Pete's question, if that is what he had said, and I don't think Ted would do that, but I would be very curious to see how that would play out. I'm just being honest.
Okay.
Let's keep going with the calls. Let's go to Rome, not Rome Adunze, whose dad apparently takes a similar approach to Christian Watson's dad from what I was seeing in the news yesterday. And not Romeo Dobbs. Let's go to Ron in Rome. Ron, good morning. How you doing today?
Hello, Ron. I never know now if it's Jesse doing something else or our caller not being there.
Ron, you got 3 seconds.
3, 2, 1.
Hello.
Oh, at the buzzer.
Right at the buzzer. Wow.
My fat face hit the mute button by mistake. Sorry.
We all have those times. Yeah. Nice.
I like you talking about the Badgers, even though I'm not a big Badgers fan, because I'm old. I grew up watching college football, and I enjoyed it. But I know there were some problems, like suspending a player if he ate a bagel at the wrong time, and you have kids that couldn't afford groceries or to have a car. Mm-hmm. So it's probably too late to stick the genie back in the lamp. But why did they have to go from a system that basically worked and just throw the baby out with the bathwater?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Ron, part of it is, listen, man, the NCAA failed miserably. It's been an utter – they tried so hard to hang on. Instead of being proactive, everything was reactive. And now you have a system that is completely broken. And until it gets fixed, it is a wild, wild west of raising money, willy-nilly paying guys and players and coaches, and they need to get to the NFL model yesterday. But you don't have a unionized player group. There's all of the things. The NCAA failed everybody miserably in this whole equation. And now they're basically it's leaving it on administration and conferences to figure things out. And it sucks. But this is where we're at, and you better adjust, and you better adjust quickly, or you're going to fall way behind. And that's, unfortunately, what has happened in the last 3 or 4 years.
Thanks for the call, Ron. We appreciate it. All right, we'll get to more of your calls. I see Coach Mack is on line 3, so I look forward to talking to him as we roll on. And yes, we will get to the Packers probably in the 11 o'clock hour, I would predict. Before we can do that, though, I just mentioned him, my guy David Gruber. He has become a good friend. I don't want to sit in his seats again, although I enjoyed sitting next to Ted Kellner. I'm not comfortable courtside. It was fun. Sydney had a blast. Thank you, David, for your generosity. I'm going to stick to press roll. But
David, I'll take David's
seat. I'll let David know. I'll let him know.
I'm more than happy to go sit in David's seats. Yeah, I'll sit by Ted.
Sure,
we'll do a courtside interview with Ted.
Maybe Ted would like to sit, somewhere else, and I could sit with him there.
I'd like to invite David and Ted to come play craps with Barry and I at the Hard Rock. How about that?
It's a great idea.
That's another fun idea.
Sure, yeah, and you'll drive them all.
Sure will.
Get yourself a Sprinter van of some sort. All right. Nevertheless. One thing I don't want to do with David is call him and have him represent me because I don't want to ever be injured in an accident. But you know that if Paula and the girls and I need help and we need the best in the business, he's who we're calling. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Grubel offices. One call, that's all. More of your calls, plural, next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Take my heart, don't break it. Love me to my bones. All this time I've wasted, you were right there.
Back to the Carbless Talking text line we go. Gets a few more of your calls here during the 10 o'clock hour. Let's go to DeForest. You know how much I love the Norskis. If I didn't know he was calling, I'd have worn one of my Norski Nike products. It is Coach Mack in DeForest. Aaron, how are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm okay. I'm still running the interview back in my head. What did you think of what Chris McIntosh had to say as a longtime high school football coach in our fair state?
Well, I think there's another layer to this. I don't even know if I shared this with Tausch or you. I used to GA'd for Barry and Brett. So I have an intimate understanding of what we were trying to accomplish across the state of Wisconsin. and that was always our foundation. And I understand with the times in college football, you have to adapt. But I don't hear enough about what that solution is to resurrecting our program in 2026. That would be my biggest question. It's going to be, what are we going to do with those resources?
Yeah,
Aaron, as a GA and coaching and everything else, because we asked Mac about the article and about the, I guess, you know, Brad Nortman on our air has said that he's talked to coaches that aren't overly impressed, I guess is the nicest way to put it, with Luke Fickell and how he's approached it. What would you, if he calls you and says, Aaron, I know you just, you've done this, you've been a part of it, what should I do to recapture the state of Wisconsin? What would you tell him to do?
I'd volunteer my time for a year to get it right and to put my boots on the ground back in the state of Wisconsin and truly interact and connect with our state, because it's being missed, and it's not even close as to what we're doing in terms of, I think there's lip service to recruiting in this state. But if you go look up at the makeup of the staff, yeah, there's some guys who maybe have played in the program, but that's different than truly knowing what it is that our kids have to offer in this state. And I think that's the biggest thing when they decided to go in a different direction from Paul or Jimmy. That is the thing that we lost is, and Paul started to lose it too. And I GA'd for Paul, and I'm a huge Paul supporter. But we didn't have anyone beating the trees in the state, not even as Paul's time. They had Bob Bostad on staff, and he wasn't even the in-state recruiter his last two years. Well, now he's at Indiana, and he's got more kids, more offensive linemen on the roster at Indiana than we do, contributing positively at a high clip in Wisconsin, and that is a problem to me.
I would
so,
say
yeah,
this.
We can give you more resources, but if you're not using them on the foundation, and the foundation will always be the big palookas, and we are not getting those kids. It should be easier to get them, not harder.
I will say this. Someone sent me a tweet of a bunch of the Wisconsin O-linemen, and there's a lot of Minnesota, Iowa, and obviously there's a center that's playing a lot of good ball at Ohio State. So I think Aaron has Coach Max got obviously he's been on the ground. So take that for it's there's some there, no doubt about it.
Right. And what I would argue, and Coach Mack, before we let you go, I'd be curious your response to this. To me, among the things that you need to focus on would be people that are familiar with your program, that have an in-state pride, because you're not going to outspend the Oregons and the Ohio States and what have you. So you better make the connectivity with these in-state kids who might be willing to stay here. I'm not talking about hometown discounts like you do in the NFL to re-sign with a team. But there's something to that. They're going to want they want their piece of the pie, too. Obviously, in today's landscape. But maybe there's more to it than just the big number of zeros at the end of your NIL deal. And maybe you've got people, you know, think about this program. Think about how many Wisconsin natives grew up in the state, are in the NFL right now. There are a lot of really good football players in the state. You got to keep them.
Yeah, and I understand. And to me, those are your foundation and your developmental guys. That doesn't mean you're going to get them for free. It means when you miss on older portal kids, you have something to fall back on. When we miss right now on kids, we have nothing to fall back on because we have no foundation. And our foundation are out, and the wall's broken. They're out in other big time programs playing for them. They're not invested in ours. And so when you go through 1-9 seasons or whatever the hell it is that we're going to go through, who do we fall back on? Do we go back to the portal and try and find new kids who are disconnected from the state of Wisconsin. We've been to that movie. It doesn't work. So yep. That's where I think the resources, the connection, the staff, if we truly want to see any results in 2026.
Coach, we appreciate your insights, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Tausch, we also appreciate the handcrafted quality of a Tito's vodka, don't we?
Indeed we do, and if we're tailgating before the game, watching from the couch, grilling with buddies, whatever it might be, Tito's handmade vodka, always my go-to. And you know what? It's getting a little chilly out, so I like to go with the fall look, a little cranberry in my Tito's. I don't, you know, the summertime's a different mix, but it's always, no matter what season, always Tito's in my glass. And not only do they make great drinks, Tito's gives back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get to a few more calls in the 10 o'clock hour here, and then in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll shift to the Packers. So if you have not called in already, we've got a few on hold. You can send your texts to the Carbless Talk and text line on UW Football, 844-770-3776. More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Let's get to two more calls. And then we will shift gears. Matt LaFleur at the podium moments ago discussing a few Packers-related topics that we want to get to as well. But first, let's get to your calls. Let's start with Cameron in central Wisconsin. Cameron, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What are your thoughts on Luke Fickell and Chris McIntosh?
Yeah, I guess I got two questions for you guys. With the added investment, you know, that Mac is talking about, you know, if Fickell goes and gets some top-tier assistants and, I guess, coordinators, does that make you guys feel better or worse about the decision to retain him? And then I guess the follow-up question I have with this move of retaining Fickell, does this almost cause, like, irreparable damage? Like, I feel a little bit like the fans and former players, like, are so far out on Fickell that even winning won't bring everybody back together. So, two questions for you. Appreciate everything you guys do.
Yeah, thanks, yeah, Cameron.
I'll answer the second one, yeah. Jason. You answer the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Winning cures everything. It does.
Good one.
So, and I think Luke understanding some of the getting out in the community that we heard Barry Alvarez talk about, and I know on his coach's show with Matt LaPay, I've heard Luke talk about that's something he needs to be better at. And he needs to go out and do it this, you know, if he is retained, and obviously now with the news yesterday, he is going to be retained. That's something he needs to get out and do. People want to associate with winning and winners. So all of the other stuff, he definitely needs to outreach and do more. But you know what's the best elixir or the best deodorant or the best whatever? Win. Win. Just like in Rocky III, is that right? Win. When Adrian said it to Rocky, she's sitting there and Rocky's all struggling because she didn't want to fight. And she gets up from the old bed. She's laying there and Rocky doesn't know what to do.
I think that's two.
Mickey's...
I think it's two? she's like, you know, having some complications with the pregnancy and stuff,
yeah.
And she's like bedridden.
And yeah. She just goes, it was as simple as win. Win.
Yeah.
That's what Luke Fickell needs to do.
I think four is when she's standing at the top of the stairs talking about Drago and says, "You can't win." Which also motivated him, I suppose.
Rocky showed her.
He sure
maybe
did.
That's what we need. We need Adrian and Rocky 4 for Luke and Mac. That's what we need. We need some Adrian 4.
Said
against all odds. Everybody thought when Adrian got up on them steps and said that, yeah, he can't. Look at that guy. He's a cut-up machine, man. Rocky's throwing rocks around climbing snowbanks out in Siberia. And everybody's thinking, Rocky can't do it. He's old. Da, da, da. We need some Rocky Balboa in this program.
That's what we need. Is Barry Adrian?
No, I think Adrian's all the fans. Saying, you can't win. Mac and Ficker down there with Rocky firing up old rocks, pulling rock poles and doing pull-ups off of beams in a barn.
Yep.
Let's go.
Beam in a barn. Go boo in a barn.
Go boo in a barn in Siberia.
Let's go to Josh in Kenosha. Josh, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. Your thoughts on UW football?
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday. First, can David Gruber represent all of us? Because we've all been injured in this accident that is Badger football.
Nice. Very well done. Thank you very much.
So, I don't want to put all the blame on Mac because I think this is a byproduct of the new era we are in with the transfer portal being what it is and NIL. And he swung for the fences with Fickell and he struck out. It happens. Part of the problem is that Wisconsin for 30 years was known for playing really good smash mouth football. And they tried to go away from it. And it failed. And it's okay to fail. It's how you respond to the failure. And I think fans are overreacting to this failure because they're not used to experiencing this level of failure. And they're also not looking at it logically, bigger picture, from the financial aspect that Tauscher was talking about. You're not going to have the money for his buyout and then to bring in another coach to pay them. But also, who are you going to have as your next coach, because you're not going to be able to get a top dollar guy like a James Franklin who just got fired from Penn State. So you're going to have to go with a younger guy looking to get experience who probably doesn't have experience. And you also don't want a lame duck coach. That doesn't serve anybody anything. So I think the fans are blowing it way out of proportion. And I will blame Chris McIntosh for sounding like a politician who really just didn't want to answer anything, so he kind of just tried to play the middle, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We appreciate the call. Look, I don't know what would have been satisfying answers from him, because I feel like a satisfying answer for a lot of the fan base and alumni is Luke Fickell will not be back next season. And anything short of that was not going to placate a lot of people. And that's not the decision he's made. So that's the reality. All right, let's get to one last call. Let's circle back.
We don't give people many second chances on this show.
To Tom in Oconomowoc. Tom, welcome back. Maybe.
Thanks.
Hey, there you are.
Are you there? Hey.
We are here. Are you here?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We can, yes.
See, I just wanted to bring up, fans have brought up a lot of good things, but to me, we're just not talking about the issue at hand, and the issue at hand is our offense sucks. All right? And I'd like to see the Mac address a little bit more about how are we going to win the games in front of us, what are we going to do differently, and even though we're going to not fire Fick, are we going to take a hard look at some of the staff, the offensive coordinator? What's the answer to that? How are they drilling down on the issues? And then secondly, I'd like to see Mac put some metrics around what success looks like for next year. You know, how many games do we need to win? Not just say he's got carte blanche ability to come back, Fickell, but what does it look like? You know, put some metrics in about recruiting Wisconsin players and that kind of thing, so we know what it's going to look like, success is going to look like, if we have it next year. So those are my biggest thoughts. But the offense, again, I'm just like, can we please talk about the offense? This is a problem.
Sure. Tom, let me ask you this. Because I don't know Jeff Grimes. I don't know intimately all of his philosophies. He's been on the show once. It would appear that he's had some offenses at pretty that have been pretty good at other places. You're playing with your second and third string quarterback, which I would critique this coaching staff and say, that's great that you've found quarterbacks in the portal the last 3 years, all of whom have gotten hurt. How good of a job have you had of doing having a backup plan at quarterback? And your offensive line stinks. I don't know if any coordinator is going to have success with that quarterback situation and that offensive line. So I'm not sure I can get on board with their offensive system sucks.
Well, so I would say this, okay? You go to war with what you've got, right? You play a football game with the talent you have, right? And so how do you leverage the talent you have? And one of the ways you do that, in my mind, is you have a fullback. The last game, they started to do some of the things. They got it under center as opposed to being a shotgun, even on running plays. You got to get that back to the line quicker after you hand it off because the offensive line can't hold their blocks very long. He was very slow to adapt to that. I mean, it was obvious the offensive line was struggling. You got to have quick hits. You got to move quicker. You can't. The play's not going to evolve, and it's going to dissolve. I just didn't see Grimes addressing and adjusting his approach to the players we do have, and trying to make it so that it was easier for them to execute. So I'll just stop there.
We appreciate the call, Tom. Thanks. Look, the offense stinks. He's not wrong. You get shut out. You're celebrating scoring one touchdown in Oregon in three games.
I'll say this: stinks. It did feel good to get a touchdown.
Did it feel as good as it's going to feel when you cash your winning tickets from your wagers at Hard Rock Casino Rockford?
Well, with Jordan Love can win MVP, that would make a big difference. The other ones, I think we all feel good. Jesse had a good Brewers season down there, and you know, they just went down. Jesse and Barry and Tark, Omai and Engs, they've been down at Hard Rock Casino Rock for the last couple weeks. They've been rolling dice. They've been having a great time, and it's only a 60-minute trip from the Madison area. Easy ride right off I-90 in Rockford. They got the sports book. They got the UU Noodle Bar. They got table games. They got slots. They got everything you're looking for. And you can experience what true high-limit play feels like, surrounded by the rhythm, indulgence, and that great energy of Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Elevate the high-limit room experience to deliver those premium table games played tailored for discerning players. Enhanced game rules include blackjack, where the dealer stands on soft 17. That helps you. I always used to think, it helps you a lot. You'll enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high-limit action that sets the Hard Rock Casino apart from other places. Your next hand could be your best yet. Visit the high-limit room at Hard Rock Casino Rockford and rediscover your game on your terms, in your rhythm, with your edge. And Jesse is a great example. He wasn't ready a couple weeks ago. He found his rhythm on his terms, and with his edge, Jesse Nelson walked out on a birthday Wednesday or whatever day he was down there with a couple $100 in his pocket. That's what Hard Rock Casino Rockford's all about.
Actually, $101.
And UU noodles hanging out of his shirt.
Oh, my gosh, still so good. Had leftovers yesterday. They were so good.
Okay, good for you. The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so please stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.